returns to Foxwoods Resort Casino June 30th and July 1st. Nightmare on Elm Street fans meet Robert Englund. From Super Troopers 2, Eric Stolhansky. From Sons of Anarchy and Guardians of the Galaxy, Tommy Flanagan. From The Walking Dead and Avengers Infinity War, Ross Marquand. Comic book artists, KidsCon, cosplay contests, Ink Fusion Tattoo Pavilion, and more. All at Comic-Con! A show for the fans, by the fans, at Foxwoods Resort Casino. Buy tickets now at foxwoods.com and comiconn.com.
It's time, once again, for the Flipside Focus, part of the Undercover Capes Podcast Network.
Welcome back, everyone, to another fantastic episode of Flipside Focus. I am your host, the random dude, Josh, and I'm excited to be back.
Excuse me? What is this?
Oh, wait a minute.
Yes, it is.
No shit. Is that who I think it is?
I am back. Oh. It is the dodgy one. And I've been away, I know, and, you know, I am now back, and Josh, I'd just like to say thank you for taking the lead on the show in my absence, as well as our mega, but you know who show this is.
I'm speechless, man. I'm like, holy shit. That's all I can really say, it's holy shit. Because, yeah, you have definitely been missed, you, my friend.
And I've missed you guys so much. And for the listeners out there, I'm really, really sorry to be away as long as I have. I've had some personal issues I have had to deal with. I have somewhat overcome these personal issues. But, yeah, again, Josh, man, thank you for taking the lead on the show and also the lead on Undercover Capes. Yeah, I'm just really thankful and thank you for allowing me to come back to where it all began, my friend.
Well, again, like you said, this is your show. So who am I to say that this is my show?
Yeah, well, it's our show.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, please continue. So, I mean, What is it we're going to be talking about today?
Well, you know, we've got some pretty cool news. As you guys have noticed from previous shows, we've talked a lot about Mark Millar, Millar Comics, and the partnership that they have with Netflix. And just recently, Netflix had released a trailer for The Magic Order. I know this is a book that we had talked about a little bit previously. Now, before, back when we initially talked about it, I remember saying, you know, this would be a great TV series. Well, come to find out, I was wrong. I was so wrong in talking about this because it's not actually going to be a TV series that we can binge watch. This is actually going to be Netflix's first published comic book, which is huge.
Interesting. Yeah, so is this comic book going to be published by Image still, or is it just going to be available on Netflix?
So it's being published by Netflix, but what they're doing is they're going to be sending it to your local comic book shops.
Oh,
so it is an actual legitimate book, which is great for the book because, I mean, hell, you look at Netflix's financial backing.
Definitely.
And so for them to come in to the scene like this, well played, well played. I definitely encourage you guys to check out the trailer. I watched it. I thought it was absolutely amazing. This is a book that I want to have on there. I know. So on there it says that See, I got so thrown off because Dodgy's here that I can't even talk straight. Yeah. but issue number one arrives at your local comic book shop June 13th. and it's saying to pre-order your copy today. So I'm very intrigued to see how this all plays out. Millar Comics, they've done a great job with their books. You know, you look at Kick-Ass and how awesome that one is. So I'm excited to see how this book goes.
Mm. And for fans of Civil War, the Marvel Civil War series, you've got Oliver Coypel re-teaming up with Mark Millar. So this is a really exciting piece. And, you know, Coypel's art is absolutely gorgeous. So definitely worth checking out.
And I love the cinematic experience that they created with this trailer, because it just, what a way to introduce a comic book series. So definitely one I'm going to pick up just because it's the first book being published by Netflix.
Yeah, and definitely it's a great starting point as well. So if you're looking for something new to read and not have to read a backstory or know the characters all that well, this is a great starting story. So it's definitely worth checking out. And, you know, with anything by Millar, it's going to be pretty spectacular.
Oh, absolutely. So, yeah, as far as news goes, that's all that I've got. I don't know, Dodgy, if you have anything that you've been keeping tabs on amidst all of...
There's only one thing I can think of, and this is an actual Kickstarter project by none other than Jim Starlin. As you know, I'm a massive fan of cosmic comics or space comics in general. And, you know, for me, Starlin is like number two behind the King Jack Kirby. So he's got an anthology / art book available on Kickstarter. And it looks to be really, really spectacular. And it's also got some art, you know, including his title character in, you know, the Infinity War Thanos. So you're going to see some of that sort of stuff there. It's called Cosmic Master Jim Starlin's Art Book and Illustrated Novella by Ominous Press. You know, and if you just want to get a book that's going to sit on your bookshelf, that's going to look pretty amazing, it's definitely the book for you. 280 backers. Wow. So the target is $26,500 US dollars. It's actually sitting at $25,296 US dollars. So less than $100 to go. And it's going to hit its budget, which means if you are backing the book, if you're putting a decent amount of pennies in there, you're going to get yourself a nice copy, and chances are it's going to be a better book than that was originally promised, because of the fact that the book is definitely going to surpass its budget, as there's 27 days remaining. Like, how spectacular is that?
Yeah.
You get a digital copy. You know, a digital gem of an Infinity Gauntlet. Don't really know what that is, but if you want to get yourself a, you know, holy crap. Okay, so if you pledge $30, you get Dreadstar signed 11 by 17 inch print. Damn, I want that. Like, no, I'm serious. Like, that's amazing. If you get a signed print, and I love Dreadstar, and I would absolutely love that. There's so many goodies here. It's not funny. There's an art portfolio if you pledge 95 or more. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's like, this is spectacular, guys. If you're if you appreciate art in its purest form, if you like storytelling, as you know, Jim Starlin went from art to actually writing and became a phenomenal writer, whether it be DC, Marvel, or even in the indie press. Wow, definitely worth checking out.
Yeah. Well, even looking at the higher end stuff, I mean, holy hell.
I know.
Yeah, wow. I'm amazed by this. Like, I've been going through his Kickstarter as you've been describing it, and I even want one.
Yeah, too right on that one.
Well, you know,
I was like thinking, you know, I was actually thinking, there'll be like maybe $3 and like $30. I was like at the mid range. I'm like, holy crap, you get a signed print of Dreadstar? Yeah, I want that.
Well, what we will do is when this episode goes live, we'll make sure to put a link to that Kickstarter campaign, just so that way you guys can check that out. That's a damn good deal. That's a damn good deal.
Absolutely.
Well, on that, that was a great, great way to kick off the show. I mean, that puts mine to shame.
No, thank you. But I just thought that was worth a mention. Yeah, it definitely was, because I'm a massive Jim Starlin fan, and I was like looking at that thinking, wow, if I had the dollars, I'd pretty much buy the entire lot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's definitely worth it. I mean, if you've got $3,000 to drop, you'll get original art from Jim Starlin himself. And there's only one of those available, so something to consider. But
definitely.
Well, that being said, since it has been a little bit, you know, since you've been on the show, Dodgy, what have you been reading? What books have kept you excited as we've gone? Because I'm very curious to hear what you've been reading, what's tickled your fancy, all the things.
Okay, so I've got a very broad pull list at the moment. They consist of both Batman books, Green Lantern books, Mr. Miracle, and then moving on to Marvel, I've got X-Men, Gold, Blue, Avengers, Captain America. But I don't want to stop there. I do still want to read indie books. As you know, Flipside Focus is where all this foundation started from. And you mentioned before the Millar bit. I actually do read and enjoy the kick-ass books with Patience Lee donning the green and yellow costume, which is absolutely phenomenal. And if you haven't read it, you're only four issues in. Check your local comic book store. I'm sure they'll be able to help you get those four issues, because it is such a fantastic run. You enjoyed the movie, you're going to enjoy the book. That's all I got to say.
So with Kick-Ass, is that continuing on from what the movie had established, or is Kick-Ass kind of more of a title, kind of like what Captain America is or Thor, how it's become more of a title rather than a person?
Well, it is definitely a title. So this has nothing to do with the original Kick-Ass storyline, so a different character, different person. Completely different. This Kick-Ass now is a woman, and she's a U.S. War veteran. She came back to the U.S. Her husband, you know, left. So she's now got to raise children by herself. You know, as you know, the pension for veterans isn't that great, especially if she's uninjured. So she cannot even get barely a dime for the services that she, you know, bravely had done, which is really unfair. But, you know, and then she's thinking, well, you know what? There's a lot of crime in my neighborhood. I'm going to go, save some people. And the thing I really like about her is that she robs the rich, but she actually gives to the poor. So she's not, you know, she might take the money she needs to pay rent, but she's actually donating to charities. And she's donating a lot, which is very admirable. So there's still a few more twists to the storyline. As I said, it's a six issue run. Only issue number four it's up to at the moment. So that is definitely worth getting your hands on. Another book that I'm reading as well is by a different publisher, is Aftershock Comics. You might know this already, Josh, but Rough Riders.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I am really enjoying this run, and I will keep reading it even if they do change the cast of the Rough Riders, because I know in the ending of Volume 2, they did sort of tease other celebrities from different timelines. As you know, you've got Theodore Roosevelt, you've got Harry Houdini, you've got Thomas Edison, you've got Jack Johnson, the boxer, and a few other cast members who are the Rough Riders. In different generations, you have different members. Like there's one generation where it has Albert Einstein, another one has Bruce Lee. Depending on the timeline that these celebrities all team up and become the new team of superheroes, which I found to be quite exciting, because if it's written well, I think it will do an amazing job. And Adam Glass is a phenomenal writer. I really enjoy his work on Rough Riders, and it's fantastic, because again, I don't like reading books that you have to know the full character's MO in order to understand what's going on.
Yeah.
You can start from issue one and you can understand it. There's no, you know, there's no nothing that is going to surprise you. Go, what the hell's going on? I'm so confused. There's none of that in these books, and I think that's why I love Adam Glass's direction. You can start on you know, Ride or Die, which is volume three, and you don't have to read the previous run, except for like issue one on volume one, where it's the how they met, how the characters met. That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
But it's not absolutely important to actually indulge in these storylines. And it's actually up to issue number four. So again, a lot of the books that I'm reading at the moment are relatively within the first, probably within the first 15 issues of their run. So I'm not having to go back and buy, you know, 20, 30, 50 issues.
Yeah.
Like I did for Batman, which is really friggin' annoying. But
well, and... And trying to, because even with the big two, yeah, you may be having to read, you know, 30 or 40 issues, but even then there's still continuity that's in place at the beginning of that storyline.
Absolutely.
You know, where with Indy, like you said, even if it is 15, you don't have to worry about, oh, do I need to know everything, you know, for the last 40 years.
That's exactly right. And yeah, and I definitely would recommend Rough Riders to anyone who likes a bit of, you know, a bit of history and just fun science fiction stories that are not taking itself too seriously. And you know, a few other books I'm reading about is by one publisher, and that's Valiant Comics. As you know, or if you guys have followed me on Facebook or on Instagram or Twitter, you'd know that I've actually went to the Valiant headquarters in New York City, which was absolutely amazing. Met Dinesh, I met Robert Meyer, you know, great guys. I'm just really, really, really hurt with what happened to Dinesh. I think that was very unfortunate. And the amount of passion I saw in the guy when I met him was just heartbreaking when he was forced to resign from Valiant, which was, yeah, it broke my heart knowing how much effort he put in. I followed him for quite a few years prior to meeting him, and very humble, very friendly. Once he knew that you actually read his shit, he will treat you like gold, and that's what he did for me. So I, you know, I really admire him and respect him, and that's why I really began to love Valiant more as a result. So just go through some of the books I've been reading. If anyone's known of Exo Manowar, he's like the Iron Man equivalent in the Valiant universe. And it's already up to issue number 15, written by Matt Kynt, you know, with various artists. So I won't go through all the artists because they change almost every issue. But it doesn't matter because the continuity in the book is phenomenal. It is basically like a cross between Conan, Gladiator, and Planet Hulk, in the easiest way to explain. Mm-hmm. Eric begins his journey as a slave. He gets slaved in a world. And the great thing is you don't have to know the backstory. You just know that he's a dude who is enslaved. He suddenly becomes a slave, becomes a warrior because of his fighting ability. He doesn't need the armor as yet, which is why this book was more exciting to read, is because we know about the costume. The costume is on the cover, for goodness sakes, but in the book he doesn't wear it.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's only within a few issues that he actually does wear the uniform, only when he needs to, not he doesn't wear it to go kick ass, because he can already kick ass without actual weapons or his costume. So we're like, fuck, this guy's a one damn good warrior. And you know, the adversity that he encounters, he becomes a warrior, then he becomes the king. Because the world is a shit place, and you know, he basically works his way up the ranks. But then, you know, people question him because he's human and he's in an alien world, and the aliens don't trust him because They don't know what his MO is. He basically, he's just got the mentality. If anyone has ever read Exo, he is a warrior from, you know, from like 400 BC. He's a Visigoth, yeah. You know, so he doesn't have the luxuries of being able to carry loads of money. He doesn't take selfies. He doesn't do anything like that. He's a dude of a different time, and people don't quite understand that. Who just meet him and they think he's got some other agenda and they push him out. But you know, it's just everything from issue 1 to issue 15 is just fantastic, and you can get the trades. I think it's like three trades at the moment with about 4 issues in each. So if you do, if you have missed the run, just go grab the trades. You won't be sorry. Definitely sorry.
Well, and I know that, I'm looking at issue number 1 because the Comic Blitz app actually has a lot of the books, especially the current run. The thing that I love is they have a timeline of Exo Manowar. So rather than having to read 2 or 3 issues to be brought up to speed, this is, you know, giving you a quick synopsis and then boom, you jump right in. Which I appreciated. I didn't have to sit there and go, okay, I need to learn everything about this guy before I can get caught up. You know, they made it very quick and easy to read. And I did like in the first issue, as you said, he didn't need the suit. He was kicking ass without the suit. So, I know that's on the Comic Blitz app. So I definitely would say if, for whatever reason, God forbid, your local comic book shop doesn't have it or can't get it for whatever reason, you do have an opportunity to be able to read it using the app. But as we've said on this show many times, there's something about having the actual book that just is better.
Of course. Moving on to my next book, which is another book with a character who's been in the Valiant universe for quite some time. That is Ninja K, or Ninjak, as he's better known. It's up to issue number 7 at the moment, written by Christos Gage. This is I actually really enjoy this because it's a spy book with espionage. It's a murder mystery. It's basically Colin King, better known as Ninja K or Ninjak, looking for the murderer of his mentor, which is Ninja D. So the ninjas all have an alphabetical letter against their name, depending on age. So Ninja A is like Ninja 1, Ninja B, second ninja, third, fourth, and furthermore. So Ninja K was mentored by Ninja D, who was a few generations before him, older gentleman who taught him the ways of the ninja, you know, the ninja way in MI6. And I really enjoy this because you begin to learn who the other ninjas are. There are other ninjas before Ninjak or Ninja K who sort of have that sort of animosity towards Ninja D, and he meets them along the way, fights them and whatnot. I mean, I don't want to give the story away too much, but we still are yet to know in issue number 7 who murdered Ninja D. There's no one has owned up to it, but the story along the way is just so much fun. And I call it a cross between James Bond and Batman, because obviously he's from the UK and, you know, and sometimes the dialogue can be a bit questionable, trying to use the British slang. Yeah. But I really enjoy it, and I think it's another fantastic book by Valiant. I didn't think I'd like it as much as I did as soon as I started reading it, because I know a little bit about Ninjak, not enough to be, okay, like, I know everything about the character. But, you know, as you said before, Josh, you've got the timeline in the beginning of the book. You get that in almost all the Valiant books now, yeah. Which means if you're a first-time reader, you don't have to read back, you know, 20 years. You can sort of like know what his MO is from the beginning of the book and just enjoy it without having to go, oh, who's this, who's that? because it doesn't show, like, everyone in this book is new. And everyone in the book is introduced in a little bio, like, there's like a little bio page about everyone who's in the book.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like, and maybe this is just how I kind of see Valiant, you know, Ninjak and Exo Manowar are like they're Batman and Superman. It's their two main heroes, and then everybody else, while they may have their own storylines, they all kind of look to them. I mean, for Valiant to want to produce a web series called Ninjak versus the Valiant Universe, that says quite a bit about how they view Ninjak.
Yes, and he's quite important because he also is referenced, and he also guest stars in another book that I'm reading as well. And I think it was the fact that he's got money and he can help, you know, financially, as well as, you know, he doesn't give a shit where he is in the world. He'll just come help out his friends. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of person he is. And this book that I was referencing is Bloodshot Salvation. So you mentioned before how Exo would be the... you know, he'd be the Superman, and then you've got Ninjak, who'd be Batman. I think Bloodshot would be Lobo in a good way, or if you're talking the Marvel equivalent, Wolverine, because the dude cannot die, and he's a pretty kick-ass character. So Bloodshot Salvation, it's issue number 9 is out at the moment, so if you haven't caught up, you've got 9 issues to read. They did come out very sporadically because I know I've been reading Bloodshot for almost a year now, and it's only up to issue 9. So I think they took a bit of a break between a few issues. Doesn't matter because I really enjoy this book. So in this run, written by Jeff Lemire, Bloodshot has a daughter who has the same abilities as he has. Her skin becomes pale and she has the red eyes and she has a nanobite, so she can, you know, she's indestructible, just like Ninjak, almost equivalent of like X-23 in the movie Logan. Mm-hmm. So with his daughter, she is sick, and then, you know, Bloodshot has to go and try to find a way to help her, rescue her, keep her alive. And he comes across baddies along the way. It actually is a lot of fun because his powers don't work sometimes, which means he gets the shit kicked out of him, which again, it just makes a more exciting storyline, because if a guy is always powerful and he's always has his powers, like it does become a bit stale in its appeal. So I really enjoy this book because there is some, you know, he does come across adversities, and I just think it's a really fun run, and it's definitely worth checking out. It really is, and I think this book would make a really good TV show/movie. And I know the movie is under production with Vin Diesel donning, you know, the Bloodshot suit. So I really would be excited for that. And that voice, oh my gosh!
Right,
give me that, please. Just give me that, Valiant. And my final book, which is a completely different contrast, that is Quantum and Woody. It's up to number 6 at the moment by Daniel Kibblesmith. All I got to say, I get a real Woody. pardon the pun about the covers. If you have not seen the covers of Quantum and Woody, you must be blind, or you haven't been to a comic book shop. They're absolutely spectacular. You've got foil, like, it's basically the 90s all over again. So you really got to go check it out, man. Like, they're absolutely gorgeous. And in my pull list, I once got a comic without the foil cover. I took it back and I exchanged it because I'm like, you know, you cannot sell me that book without giving me a foil cover. Like,
yeah.
They're absolutely spectacular. And the story, this is the ultimate odd couple book. Two brothers, you know, Woody was adopted by Eric's parents, so Eric is Quantum, African-American parents. You know, and the thing I like about it, Eric's the real straight-A student, and Woody's the class clown. And you know, the book does touch on their differences, mm-hmm. but also the love they have for each other, because they actually do love each other like brothers. Like, they actually will stick their neck out for each other. And, you know, even though Woody can be a bit of a dick at times, he still looks out for his brother. And Eric, even though he sees how annoying his brother is, he still looks out for him as well. So I really enjoy this book. You know, I think it's a way, like, if we look at Iron Fist and Luke Cage, it's a way that book should be written. It is absolutely fun. And there's a lot of flashbacks about when they were kids. And the flashbacks actually do work, because it touches on what they're actually dealing with in the present stage. So it is a lot of fun. And one thing I did get a kick out of it is that Woody's biological father lives in Sydney, Australia, and he was actually working in the Opera House. And I live, like, literally across the harbour from the Opera House, so I could see it. From where I live. Yeah, so that was pretty cool. And having seen that in the comic, and, you know, and there's a little supervillain kid named Kid Tesla, who's a kid genius. I really enjoy that storyline as well. There's, you know, it's not a book that's taken too seriously, but it's written to perfection.
Yeah.
There's a lot of comedy in it. There's, you know, a lot of slapstick humor, but it doesn't take away from what the actual story is about. So if you like to read something action, superhero, and then you just want to throw a bit of humor in the mix, Quantum of Woody is the book for you. Issue number 6 is where it's up to at the moment, so you're not too far off. And just check out the covers, because, man, they're absolutely gorgeous. I don't know if you've ever seen the covers, Josh.
I have. I actually just skimmed through issue number 1, and oh my god, this book is amazing. I don't know how I didn't read this before. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, and that's the thing with Flipside Focus. We're actually giving focus to the books that probably do get missed, and, you know, you are forgiven, because there's a lot of books out there. And, yeah, it's just, yeah, and that's what we do. We talk about indie books. And having read the first issue, I was like, yep, throw this in my pull list, please.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. Those are, dude.
Yeah, and the art is gorgeous, too.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I've said multiple times on many shows, I become very critical of books where they spend more time on the splash pages than they do evening it out throughout the whole book. And really, with all the books that you've brought up during this episode, at no point did I ever feel that they were shortchanging us with the art.
No way. I don't remember the artist's name, but one artist in issue number 15 was the same artist of Venom Space Knight, and his art is absolutely mind-blowing. Absolutely, yeah. Mind-blowing. And, you know, and that's the thing. It's a different contrast of art. It's very photogenic, but it's like stuff you could just cut. You could cut out a page and stick it on the wall, and someone would walk past and go, "Wow, absolutely wow! That's an amazing piece of art you've got there."
Yeah,
and it's just from a comic book.
Well, and that's why we love indie. It's really what it boils down to.
It definitely is, and as you know, guys, if you're just listening for the first time and never heard my voice before, it's understandable, because I haven't been here for 7 months. if you can, you know, just jump back to previous episodes of Flipside Focus. You would hear my voice and hear how passionate I am about indie comics, as is Josh and Almega. And I am coming back. So I am back at Undercover Capes, and I really, really look forward to reading some more indie books, talking about small press publishing, even single creators, writer artists who just want to, you know, get their foot in the door and actually speak to someone. Just reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to grab hold of your book. We would love to talk about your book. So please, if you hear this, just reach out to us, on just jump on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, wherever you can go to hear the podcast, or reach out to us on social media. I know Josh is the man for that. Has done a spectacular job on all the social media platforms. So please check us out. Message us. We'd happy to hear from you. And if we do, we will reply to you, shoot us an email, and boom, we'll get your book up. But yeah, we definitely are absolutely excited to be back in the spin of things with Flipside Focus.
Absolutely.
Josh, thank you.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I was going to say, I was about to say thank you for bringing me back, you know, a bit of a twist of the arm, and but you know, I don't regret it. I really had a blast talking about comics today, talking to everyone. So, yeah, I'm uber excited. Very rusty, but very excited.
Nah, you know, as soon as you got to talking about it, I was like, I'm going to step back. He's on a roll. I ain't stopping him. The one book I did want to bring up, you know, as you were talking about how you love reading books about historical characters that have their own story, there's one book in particular that I think you might be interested in. I loved it, but it's called Time Lincoln. Now this book is, let me get back to it because I want to make sure I give proper credit where credit is due. So it's published by Antarctic Press, and it's created by, oh my gosh, where's the writer? I had it up and then I jumped over to other stuff and I was like, oh, damn it.
sorry, Josh, is it Fred Perry?
It is. No, I apologize. No, it's Doug Dlin and Joe White. Oh, okay. Oh, you're right. Yeah, Fred Perry did the story and art with coloring by Robbie Bavard, and the front cover art was Brian Denham. If I mispronounce your name, I do apologize. But the premise of this story is really that President Abraham Lincoln, for lack of better words, becomes a time-traveling badass. And ends up teaming up with other known icons within history. I mean, you've got Einstein, you've got Benjamin Franklin, Newton, Carver, you know, all of these icons in history who are going through and fighting evil. A lot of fun. Taking historical events, you know, starting with the assassination of President Lincoln, and adding a twist to it, creating this whole new story. I don't know if you've had a chance to read that one.
No, but I am very intrigued. Very, very intrigued.
You know, definitely one that it has the historical aspect along with some science fiction, some action to it. And the artwork is phenomenal. They did a great job with this. I didn't feel like it was forced as far as the story goes. And really taking a pinnacle moment in the history of the United States and giving it a fun twist. So I would definitely check this out. The first issue is free on Comic Blitz app, or definitely contact your local comic book shops and pick this one up. I thoroughly enjoyed it. They did a great job with it.
Definitely. It actually looks really interesting. And as you mentioned, he travels through time. And I think that's a great way to, you know, to basically, you know, captivate us audiences is by, you know, a man who was assassinated actually finds a way to time travel. So he could basically reinvent history, which I think is a great storyline. And I do find Abraham Lincoln a very interesting character, because in real life he was the you know, an avid reader. He read like almost like 3 books a week. Like, that's how crazy he was when it came to reading, and he was very intelligent. So I think he'd be a great person to interact with, you know, characters from the future or from different dimensions, if that were the case. So I think it'd be a great story.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. You know, reading through the first one, I enjoyed it, and I want to pick up more. I want to see how it continues, especially incorporating the other characters into the mix. So, but yeah, as far as other books go, you know, I really wanted to save more of the time for you.
No, this being your
triumphant return. So,
thank you.
But. You know, we definitely appreciate you guys listening in. I'm going to turn this time over to Dodgy, because this is his show, and I want him to have the glory to be able to sign off on his show.
Thank you, Josh. It was a real pleasure and honor to be back. It's been a blast. I've had a lot of fun talking about comics. And I think it's great that Josh, that you talked about Comic Blitz, because I think we focus more on what we can actually buy in a comic book store. And as you mentioned before, subscribing to Comic Blitz, there are a lot of free books out there. So you can actually, you know, just read the first issue. If you can say yay or nay when it comes to reading it, which I think is fantastic, because, you know, nothing's worse if you pay, you know, $4 for a comic book from your local comic book store, take it home and you hate it. You know, that's $4 that you're probably going to have to, you know, throw away or sell to someone else. But the reality is, you know, just support these apps, because, you know, I mentioned before, there's a lot of books out there that you have to read from, you know, 10 issues back, can't afford. Like, it does get expensive when you have to buy books to catch up. Whereas I think Comic Blitz is a perfect opportunity to delve back into the history of comics, especially in the indie scope, and you will find a lot of small press out there that just need your eyes, you know, just need your time to read through those books, and it will help them, because one, you know, if they do get the support from the fans to say, hey, I do like your book, and it's also very courteous if you just reach out to the writers as well and say, hey, I like your book, anything new on the horizon? Because the thing is, the writer might actually think that no one's reading their books, and they might think, well, am I doing it for nothing? Like, I've got these great stories in my head, but no one to actually read through. So, you know, it just means a lot to them if you just shout out and say, hey, I do like your book. I'm a massive fan, because who knows, they might come to a local con near you in the future. And, you know, if you take the time, they'd love to know what you thought about their book, and you might inspire them to write more. But yeah, you know, as I've mentioned before, it's been an absolute blast and honor to be back. And on behalf of myself and the Random Dude Josh, and please check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and all the other wonders of social media, because we just love to hear from you. And yeah, I just want to say thank you, and we'll see you on the flip side.
This has been a production of the Undercover Capes Podcast Network. Make sure to check us out on Facebook and Twitter, and at undercovercapes.com.